Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl, episode 43. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about, are you high maintenance or are you just well cared for?
By who? Yourself or others?
Yeah, by yourself, maybe by others, but yeah, because I think, you know, there are times where someone may call you high maintenance, but some people may call you high maintenance when it's like you're the one that's doing the upkeeping for yourself.
True.
Or maybe, you know, your significant other's doing it for you. So
ready to get into it?
Indeed. So have you ever been called high maintenance? And if so, what do you think the person really meant when they called you that? I definitely think there's been ways people have told me that, but also when I think of if someone did call me that, they probably meant more so I do have certain routines for things. There's some things I just don't get up and do. It's like I do have a certain routine about my life and my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it takes, oh girl, 2 steps to get ready, but it may take me like 10 steps.
Okay.
I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like we all have different like routines when it comes to what it takes to get ourselves together or to be presentable the way we are, right?
Okay. Has anyone ever called you high maintenance for, I don't want to say like your standards, but maybe your standards or requirements or the amount of time or attention you might need or expect, anything like that, you know, like from a non-beauty type of maintenance.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, I think there are people that expected me to be high maintenance, but then when they started to date me, they're like, oh, you actually don't require the things that I really thought that you did. It's like, no, not really.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've been called high maintenance. I think I've definitely been called bougie, but probably because I guess a lot of the high maintenance, quote unquote, things I do for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if I do a full-blown skincare routine at night, like I bought the products and I'm doing it myself. Even like other beauty maintenance things, just like probably that a lot of people that are less common, like getting laser hair removal or even just, I mean, I feel like a lot of people buy bundles and things like that. But I mean, under those standards, I feel like a lot of black women would be high maintenance then because I feel like black women in general spend a lot of money on beauty maintenance. Period.
We definitely do.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you think you're high maintenance though?
In what way?
Anyway.
No, but I like things to be done a certain way. When I think about this, I think of when you're dating someone, the things that I like to do in my household is just how I like to do things. So there's certain processes and routines that I have in my household. Whereas maybe my partner doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when it comes to maybe like the person I am at home, I like things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's considered high maintenance, but I think that's the only feedback I get where it's like, geez, like it has to be like that or that's how you do it. I'm like, yeah.
Well, if you want to talk about household, like I'm definitely very OCD. So if that's considered high maintenance, then yeah. Because I'm very particular. I like things clean. I like things organized and yeah, if someone probably opened my linen closet, they'd probably say I'm high maintenance because I am like the clear bin with labels on everything type person. And I'm like very particular about that. So yeah, I guess it's how you define high maintenance though. Like
That's a good point.
Is someone calling you high maintenance because you're requiring a lot out of them to meet your needs? Or are you being called high maintenance because you do a lot for yourself and the way that you like to do things?
Right.
You know? I guess what is the definition?
Right.
You know, because I keep my things and myself, outward appearance, my belongings in the home, very particular, but I'm maintaining that.
Right.
So it might be high to you, but I'm not asking you to do it. I'm doing it. So.
No, literally. No, exactly. So I think that's a great point because I do think if someone tells you that you may be high maintenance, if that's the case, then I think what they're seeing, it's like, well, this is how I keep up with myself. So this is my maintenance that I do for myself. So maybe if that's high maintenance to you, then okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this is just my routine.
Yeah. My assumption would be if somebody is calling someone else high maintenance, that that person is requiring a lot out of them in order, like, for their own upkeep. Mm-hmm. Because I don't see any reason to call me high maintenance if I'm not asking you to help me maintain.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, for sure. To maintain the look, the lifestyle.
Right. But also, is it high maintenance if you're not expecting anyone to do something that you can't do for yourself?
That's a great question.
Or at that point, is it just subjective?
Right. Because that is a great question, though, honestly. But I think that just goes back to, you know, our last episode where we were just talking about standards, right? Mm-hmm. If it's like, that's my standard, that's my standard.
Like, okay, so if you get massages once a month and you are dating someone and you are expecting, like, that they get you a massage for your birthday, does that make you high maintenance?
No, because it's my birthday gift. What do you think?
And that's what I'm saying. I feel like at that point it's subjective, because to somebody else, that might be like they can't get you a massage, and that's way too – the fact that you even get massages once a month could be high maintenance to somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, the way I live my life, I try to live my life in ways that I can maintain and upkeep myself, because I'm not trying to force anyone to have to keep up with everything, right? I want you to help, but I don't expect you to fully maintain, because I'm like, these are my choices.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just what I like to do. But I also would not want to talk to someone or date someone that makes me feel as though you shouldn't be getting massages every month. Like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, this is just a part of, like, what I do to kind of, like, maintain myself, you know?
It all goes back to standards.
Yeah.
Because one person's high maintenance is another person's, it's a Tuesday.
Right. I'm trying to look like those girlies on a Tuesday where you see them out living life. You're like, damn, it's Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. No, sometimes I laugh, like, working from home, because it's like, why are y'all out here on a Tuesday? Like, and it's like, why am I out here on a Tuesday?
Literally. Like, those work from home days, you're like, dang. So these are the people really living life.
Yeah. The people that are, you know, not multitasking, just literally just casually having a nice lunch on a Tuesday afternoon.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I do find that funny, too. Do you think high maintenance is just another way people shame women, especially Black women, for having standards?
Yes.
Like we just were saying.
Yeah, because, I don't know, I feel like if you can and you do take care of yourself in that way, you're not going to look at somebody else doing the same as high maintenance.
Right. And I do think that Black women, we do get the label sometimes as maybe we are high maintenance, but like I was just saying before, it's a lot of our routines. Like a lot of my friends, we do get facials and massages and maybe we get a little filler. I don't get filler, but I'm saying I have friends that get filler. You know what I mean? Like where my friends are spending up to thousands, maybe a month on just beauty maintenance upkeep for everything. But that's just, I don't see it as high maintenance. It's just like, that's just what you do to maintain your look, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a couple things. One, I think a lot of times in dating where if you can spend that type of money on upkeep for yourself and that's intimidating to somebody that feels like they can't meet you at that level financially, I think women get shamed and are called high maintenance. But I also think sometimes people that don't pour that much effort into themselves, into their appearance, and they see other people doing that, I don't know. I think sometimes that can trigger insecurities in people and make them feel less than. And so they will call other people high maintenance. Like, it's interesting to me because, like, for me, for example, like, if I post a tutorial, like makeup tutorial, whatever, obviously it's not ideal for like everyday makeup. I don't wear makeup every day, but when I do wear makeup, one, I have a lot of steps because we live in Houston. It's humid. And so in order for it to last, but I also do my makeup as if I need it to be on for like 10 hours for that reason. So it's a lot of steps, you know, and sometimes people are very backhanded in comments like, oh, beautiful, but way too much work for me, way too much effort for me. Mm. Or like, you're beautiful. I don't understand why you have to wear so much. And it's backhanded compliments. It's like, especially the people that are like, oh, too much for me. You don't want to do that for yourself, but there's nothing wrong with me doing it for myself. You know, there's something I feel like sometimes that triggers people when they see people taking care of themselves and they're not taking care of themselves as much or doing the same, you know. It's kind of like that saying where it's like, am I doing too much? Or are you doing too little?
Yeah.
People get triggered into shaming people for being high maintenance for those various reasons.
Right. And honestly, I do think that people may shame you for doing something that, to be honest with you, that they can't afford. Yeah. Because sometimes I feel as though if you can afford it, you're going to do it too.
Well, yeah. Because I think there's plenty of people with no butts that are going to shame women for getting BBLs, or, you know, somebody with a gut that is shaming somebody for getting lipo. But if they had the money to get lipo, they might think twice and they might want to consider it, you know, or whatever it is. So, yeah, I think that's a very obvious example.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would say, I would never, until they have the money to do so.
That's what I'm saying, or the opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Because even for me, when I think of anyone that has maybe shamed me for the things that I pay for to maintain and upkeep myself, they are people that, no offense, are not doing it at all or do the bare minimum. But my friends that are basically doing the same thing as me, they're not saying anything. If anything, they're like, girl, give me her number. Or like, what's the information? Or like, it looks good. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I feel like whoever's talking about that or saying anything negative is just someone that is not doing it and not doing it yet.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I don't know, I know there's a lot of people that want to talk about other people's veneers, but if they had the money to get some veneers, they'd have some nice pearly whites in their mouth. So, yeah.
No, literally. Oh my gosh. What's the difference between being demanding and being intentional about how you want to be treated?
I mean, I guess a couple things come to mind. One, tone of voice. You know what? Actually, too, I feel like one word comes to mind to differentiate those two, and I guess it would be entitlement.
Great point.
You know, like, very true. What is the line between loving yourself, not settling, and having standards and feeling entitled to certain things? And I feel like in talking to men, that's their problem dating these days, is not that they mind paying for something or mind taking somebody on a nice date. I think a lot of times men get turned off by women that feel entitled or come off entitled to something. You know, like, you might go on a first date with the expectation and the standard that, you know, that man should pay. He asked you out. But there is a certain tone of voice that is different from, you know, that's your standard. And, yeah, being demanding and entitled about it. You know, you can go into a date with the expectation that a man pays, and when he does, you can also be grateful.
Yeah, right.
Even if it is your standard and it was the expectation, you can still be grateful and humble, you know? And I think, God, I hate to defend men in any way, but I do think that's where the issue that they have is that they actually maybe wouldn't mind paying or doing nice things, but I think sometimes... And I could even have been guilty of it in the past. Maybe not entitlement, but being so matter of fact about your standards that it comes off that way, you know?
I think that's very fair, for sure. You know, at times women can be very demanding with what they're requiring their man to do in a relationship, right? If I'm having to force a man to be a man, then that's not the man for me. You know, like, I don't like the feeling as though I have to ask or beg or force a man to do certain things for me. If he just doesn't want to do it, then, like, I'm not going to ask. Like, that's just too much. Mm-hmm. I just feel like they should just do if that's what they want to do, right? But forcing a man to do certain things just because you see your friend get it or do that, I'm not doing that. I just think that's just, I don't know. I don't think it's worth it, honestly. And it doesn't feel the same. I don't feel, it's not as sincere when you're forcing a man to do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's anything. I feel like.
It's not fun. It's like.
Yeah. It's a lot more meaningful when things are done out of the kindness of someone's heart.
Yeah.
And thought out of thoughtfulness and because they wanted to.
Yeah.
And not because you demanded it. Yeah. It's literally. Like at a certain point, you know, if you're in a relationship and you've said over and over again how much you like to get flowers and it never happens. And then when it finally happens, you don't care anymore because you had to say it 8,000 times.
Exactly. It's like, I don't even want it because that's not something that you wanted to do out of the kindness of your heart, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that now, but, you know, when I was younger, I definitely felt as though I had to force certain men to do certain things for me. And I don't want to do that anymore because I'm like, I realized that I still wasn't that happy in that relationship.
There's a difference between being demanding and having standards. And I also think there's a difference between having healthy boundaries and being demanding. And I think part of maintaining your boundaries is not staying in a situation to the point where you have to become demanding.
Right. It's exhausting.
Yeah. No one wants to constantly repeat themselves. And at that point, you feel demanding when you have to constantly repeat yourself. So
why do some people view care, softness, or luxury as too much when it comes to Black women?
I don't know. I guess we're supposed to suffer. Like, I don't know. I think because they feel like we don't belong in those spaces.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, you know, people hate to see a Black woman pull up to a country club in a G-Wagon.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they automatically assume she doesn't belong. Or, yeah, I don't know. And I feel like that's why when it comes to luxury, it's always constantly being redefined. Because once people have too much access to it, then it's no longer luxury.
Yeah, some of the designers were seeing that in real time.
Yeah.
Chanel said, not on my watch. We're going to keep raising the prices.
Exactly. I feel like BBLs are the perfect example. Too many people started getting it. Then everybody got on Ozempic and it was cool to be skinny again, you know, and all of the wealthy celebrities want to be skinny again, you know, because I feel like it's all about proximity. And once too many people are starting to be able to attain certain things that they have, then the goalpost is moved, you know? So once too many Black people start being able to attain things, then it has to change.
Wow.
Which is sad.
You're actually so right about that because it's so true. Like, I just laugh watching all these beauty standards and these trends. Mm-hmm. Because now you notice when, you know, you're seeing in the blogs, someone with a BBL, everyone's like, ew, it's too much BBL. She needs to take it out now. Mm-hmm. But it's like before y'all were praising those thick bodies. Mm-hmm. But now everyone is so against them. Mm-hmm. And yes, at the same time, I think the BBLs have altered because a lot of these women have had children now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's so true. It's very alarming. That's why I'm like, there's certain beauty standards and trends that I just refuse to give in to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's probably much deeper than a lot. I think it just goes back to proximity to whiteness, you know, and probably even back to slavery. Just like once we can start to afford these things, then it's no longer luxury to them. Mm. And that's why they don't want us in those spaces.
They just think as Black women, we're supposed to struggle and as if that's our only story and the only narrative that we have when it comes to us. Mm-hmm. And so when we don't have that struggle story, then it's kind of just like, and it's just, I don't know, it's just weird and it's not fair, right? Mm-hmm. Because some of us, regardless of how we grew up, we worked our ass off if we do have those things, you know what I mean? Regardless. And you see the slight jabs, right? When these restaurants, these nice restaurants come out with dress codes.
Yeah. I remember,
crazy.
It was like December of last year, a new restaurant opened here and it said no loud or no excessive jewelry. It said no excessive jewelry in the dress code. It's like, okay, we know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, that's deep.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on that when you go to restaurants and the waiter automatically assumes that you want hot sauce or A1 sauce with your lovely steak that you damn near paid $100 for, mm-hmm. or that you want plasticware?
Yeah.
I hate when they ask me those questions without me telling them.
Yeah.
Like, I understand why, but we are all not the same. Mm-hmm. So do not ask me if I want hot sauce with my fucking steak.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
It's that would be annoying and frustrating and also unfair to make that assumption.
I mean, let's talk about it, Blake. When we were in Chicago for your birthday dinner, mm-hmm. and the table of ladies, like, we walked in and I was like, oh my god, it was great to see another table full of black women. And we're sitting there and the night's vibing, and all of a sudden we look up and there's like three servers and a manager at the table, and we're like, oh shit, something's going down.
Yeah.
And our waiter's so messy, he became our friend. And of course he's like, yeah, they tripping about the bill. It's like, come on. Yeah. It was such a nice restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it does suck when it's like, why it gotta be us? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And it does suck when you're not that type of person, but yet you still get treated that way because people are used to people that look like you coming in and acting that way.
Mm-hmm. It's not okay because not everybody is like that.
Right, right.
But then I think that's where you see restaurants have X, Y, and Z clearly, you know, policies clearly stereotyping and targeting us.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where it's disappointing. But I think going back to the original question, I think they don't want us in the same luxury items as them or in the same, having the same luxury experiences, because part of that luxury is that it is not obtainable for other people, and especially not black people. And once mm-hmm. black people can start to obtain it, it's no longer luxury to them. So that's why they don't like seeing us in those places, because if we can afford the same thing as them, that doesn't make them feel good.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people feel better when knowing that we remain beneath them.
No, for sure.
Yeah. And that they can consistently obtain things that we cannot.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And you see it when you're in certain spaces. They're like shocked that you're there as well. They're like, oh,
right.
Oh shit.
Right. And that's why they either will stop going to places or they'll try and get us kicked out of places, because that's not part of the luxury experience to them.
No, for sure. But I think that is when people ask me why I like living in Houston, that is one of my main reasons. I said, I love Houston because it doesn't matter where I go, I will see myself in that room. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that you don't get in a lot of cities, but oh, you go get it in Houston.
Yeah.
And I love that because we are going to be in any space. It doesn't matter where it's at, but we are going to be there.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to see, right? And that's really why I love Houston, for that reason alone, is that representation is here. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, at all levels.
At all levels, right, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
We can be in all types of places, but we're there.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Let's get into boundaries. What are some boundaries or preferences you have to stop apologizing for?
Restaurants and hotels. Like, I will never be a, we're just going to sleep at the hotel type of person. So I'm not apologizing about that. And I'm not eating McDonald's on vacation. I'm not going all the way out the country to eat, like, fast food or eat something that I could have ate in America. So that's something I'm definitely not apologizing for anymore. Yeah. I feel like even for you, I can always laugh how you would rather Uber than walk or Uber than take public transportation. You know what I mean? Like, but you are unapologetically Ashlyn in that way, like, and fair, you know? Yeah.
I just, you know, I wasn't raised, you know, on the East Coast, so public transportation is not really a norm for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll spend $30 for that Uber, even though it's like a mile walk.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. I like your point. I think comfortability is key. Mm-hmm. And I think the times where I've tried to accommodate the group, I'm so unhappy because I'm like, ugh, I don't like this, or I don't like this place, or I don't feel comfortable staying here. Mm-hmm. There was one time in particular where I remember I took a little road trip with some friends. It was spontaneous. And my friend decided to get a tiny house. One of those tiny homes.
I feel like you've told me this story before.
So we were in Nashville and the tiny home experience seemed cool until we got there. And it was four of us total. And we get there and I'm like, okay. And so we get inside and the bathroom was smaller than an airplane bathroom with a shower inside.
That's impossible. Smaller than an airplane bathroom?
I swear it was smaller than the airplane
bathroom. With a shower, Ashlyn?
I swear, Blake. The shower was so small, in order to wash your body, you had to put your leg outside of the shower to wash. So, with that being said, I remember sitting there that night and thinking, I can't do this. And I said, well, I'm going to get a hotel and y'all have a good night. And so my other friends agreed. And so they decided to do the same. But, you know, it's situations like that where you're just kind of like, even though you tried, and it's just like, sometimes it's like, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also the tiny home, they tricked us because you could tell the images were taken on the 0.5 lens. So it made the space seem much bigger than what it truly was. So just imagine.
Yeah. First of all, four of y'all, well, four people in one bathroom is already hard, but I can't imagine a tiny house.
With the water barely dripping out. There was no pressure on the water. So, you know, it's things like that. So to your point, when you just brought that up, I'm like, yes. And that's why you have to, when you know yourself, it's like you cannot.
Yeah. And it's not a,
on that.
It's not even a diss to anyone else. No, I know myself. Like right. And it's not even about being bougie. Like I was an only child. So. Yeah. And not that I have a problem sharing. It's about, for me, the social battery thing. Like, I'm just used to having a certain amount of time alone.
Yeah.
And so, like, I already know how I am on group trips and girls trips. Like, love a good girls trip. But my friends know, like, there is time where I just want to be alone in the room. Or if I can't, but, like, just quiet time.
Yeah.
To mindlessly scroll on the phone and not have a conversation about anything. And I have started to become more unapologetic about that, needing to recharge my social battery.
You know, also I think of it as I don't want to show up and be this unhappy person on this trip. So let me remove myself and go to a hotel, which makes me feel better. But also, like we say, you know, I'm going to pay for the comfortability always. Like that is me. I don't care. I'll pay the price. Like, because I simply cannot. It's not being high maintenance. It's just, that's just how I live my life. And sometimes, you know, you want to try stuff for the experience. And that's why it's called an experience, right? Because you experience it and you realize you didn't like it. And when I tell people the story, they always laugh. I actually need to show you the tiny house because you're going to scream when you see how small it was.
I'm just confused because that sounds like something for one to two people max.
Yes.
Did they advertise it as that?
Probably, but I wasn't in charge of the booking.
And how many beds were there?
I think it was only, it was one bed and one couch.
For the four of y'all?
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah. Bright idea.
Also why I don't, I now ask more questions. Because sometimes, you know, when you're not the planner of the trip, you know, you're like, all right, I trust that person. But now I'm like, no, I went into that situation extremely way too blind.
Well, that's also why I'm always the planner of the trip, because I know I'm going to do the due diligence to read reviews, to really look at pictures, to do my research on the neighborhood, the area, all of that. And so, you know, rarely are there bad meals had or a terrible hotel experience, because I know I've done the due diligence. Yeah, that's also a huge reason as to why I'm the planner, because Jesus.
No, literally. Yeah. We can talk more about that story another day, because boy, it gets worse. But you live and you learn. Are there certain things that you require in your relationship, such as maybe emotional check-ins, clear communication, etc., that others may see as too much?
Clear communication? I don't think that's too much. Emotional check-ins? No. But we've definitely, like, joked about having what's it called? Not annual, like quarterly reviews, but uh-huh. not like, you know, as a joke.
Yeah, right.
But joking, but not joking. Like, yeah. obviously not reviews, like criticism, but yeah. just like, yeah, check, like just checking
in. I like
in.
That. Yeah.
Also, one thing we do is every Sunday, I'll be like, what was like the pit in the peak of your week? And then like, what are your goals for the upcoming week? So we like, we'll share that just to understand where, you know, what the other person has going on for the week and, yeah, what their focus is. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I like
don't
think
that's high maintenance.
Right. Right.
Oh, maybe one thing that would be high maintenance is, yes, if my flight is at 5 a.m., I am still expecting you to drive me to the airport.
Hell yeah.
So, that might be high maintenance. I'll own that.
No, literally. And I'm definitely like the 5 a.m., 6 a.m. flight shoddy. I'm sorry. You're going to have to get up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I agree. I'm right there with you. I don't think that anything I require in a relationship is too much or anything of that nature. If we're, you know, we feel the same way. I think in my current relationship, there's ways where maybe others may think we over-communicate, but I think it's healthy to do so, right? If it's like, maybe you're expecting your partner to be home at a certain time, or you know that they work at this time, or they're going to the gym. Just communicating as far as like, hey, I'm actually running a little late because I'm staying late at work, or hey, I'm going to be here or do that. Just communication, so it's not like you don't really know what's going on. You know what I'm trying to say?
I don't think that's high maintenance.
Yeah, like I think, but some people, I know there are some men that may think that's too much, as in like you call them and they're like, why are you asking what I'm doing or where I'm at?
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, but you know, there's some men that make you feel that way. You know, my relationship now, it's like he just tells me. But there's been times where I've dated men where they're kind of like beating around the bush or getting an attitude when I'm asking them where they're at. I'm like, I'm not being nosy. I'm just asking.
No, and I honestly, I might have some like trauma from that because mm-hmm. I feel like at the start of this relationship, I maybe if something was out of the ordinary or a running late situation, I like yeah. wouldn't be overly, not overly pressed about it, but would yeah. just wait it out. I don't really know. But yeah, then he'd be like, you can always call me. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I want you to call me or whatever. So I think I definitely hated that in past situations. It's mm-hmm. just like, I remember one time I was at someone's apartment and they were like, I don't know, going to run an errand. And I was like, oh, where are you going? And he dead looked at me so confused while I was asking.
Yeah.
I'm in your apartment.
Exactly.
And you're leaving me here by myself because you need to go do something. And I'm just simply asking what that is. It's not a weird question.
No, you know? Literally. And I'm sharing your relationship now. He'll be like, hey, babe, you want to come with me? I'm about to go da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
You know? But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, there are some men that make you feel uneasy or they're questioning you. It's like, I'm just asking. Like, right. That's so weird.
It's very weird. So I hate that. Never yeah. again.
I think that's where the clear communication comes in, right? Because there is, it's an open communication, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, I think that's important. I think it's just considered a healthy relationship. Speaking of dating, do you feel like your standards in dating are truly high or are they just not bare minimum? Honestly, if we ask that question and we post it, I think the men will definitely hop in the comments and tell us why.
Okay. What
as always,
what are high standards in dating to men and women? Because the people are going to chime in regardless. Because
yeah,
yeah. One thing I feel like you see is like, why are you, especially if you're in your early 20s, and even now, like this is still a period of building at 30, expecting a Chanel bag or expecting a full blown vacation paid from your man that just works a corporate job and is trying to make it himself, I feel like is also a problem. Like, that's just, I don't even know if that's high standards. It's just, are you being realistic? Like, you're not dating LeBron James.
No, you know? Literally. And I think a lot of people have the game fucked up right now because they do think that way. But that's why I was saying earlier, when you really like a man, you're not going to take like that because you understand the man is literally trying to build and you're both realizing, okay, we're both in this corporate world trying to get it mm-hmm. and you're just taking from the pot.
Yeah, I feel like social media has made that whole thing worse.
Literally.
You know, because people are definitely online scrolling, seeing somebody get 2 dozen roses on the first date and the man barely knows her name and she's getting a Chanel bag on the second date, and people are expecting that level of courtship, and that's not realistic for most people.
No, it really,
on the day-to-day.
Right, it's not. I mean, let's be honest, the men that are doing that, like, those are your trappers, rappers, scammers. Mm-hmm. Like, these are not, if you want that, you know, finance, bro, or whatever you want, those, that's just, it's kind of different.
Yeah.
But also, I think it depends on, like, the age, right?
Yeah.
If you're dating a man that's 40 plus, of course, he can do a lot more for you than if you're dating a man that's around your age.
Yeah. Like, if you're 22, just graduating college, and you're also dating somebody that just graduated college, like, manage your expectations.
No, literally, literally. And I just feel as though, you know, I don't want women to lose out on a good guy because they can't give them the dream life that they want right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it is quite alarming the way people think. Because it's funny you say that. I had someone that's close to me literally ask me, like, how much is my man contributing to my trip? It made me think as though, why do women think that way, to where just because that's my boyfriend that they are forced to give me money and pay for this trip? You know what I mean? But I feel like that's just where it is now. Regardless if he's helping for the trip or not, I don't know. I just, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because when you're in a relationship and I think that your partner does enough for you, whether he helps pay for the trip or not, like, why does it matter? Because regardless, you're still going to get some type of gift out of your person and things mm-hmm. of that nature. But I don't know. That just really rubbed me the wrong way, because I'm like, that's just the way social media has people thinking. It's like, oh, give me the trip. Give me the flowers. Give me the bag.
Yeah.
Everything for the trip. Like, I don't know, for the birthday. I don't know.
I think it's social media.
Yeah.
That is making people have that mindset. But also, I don't know. Could you argue that that's a preference thing too? And whoever that person might have that expectation of whoever they're dating, there might be other things that she's not going to get. Like we said earlier, like, it's always a give and take.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have somebody that can contribute to your birthday trip, but they might not be there for you emotionally on the day-to-day. You
right. know,
and it's what is important, most important Literally. To you. Somebody that can be mentally and emotionally mature and still ambitious and working on themselves, and they can also still get you a gift, a nice right. gift, but not pay for half or the whole trip, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Ugh, and thinking about it real time, it's like re-rubbing me the wrong way.
I mean.
And I definitely had to check. Loki had to check her on that, because I'm like, to be honest with you, this person is already spending significantly enough on my birthday to where I actually declined the offer mm-hmm. to give me money for my birthday trip, to be transparent. So mm-hmm. that's just where I stand, because if this is someone I genuinely like, I'm not going to take that much. Like, not right now. Not while he's building. I'm just not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Is she in a relationship?
No.
Oh, well, I mean.
And that's, and you're right, because it's like we say, I think when you're in a really healthy, secure relationship, that stuff doesn't matter to you. Because I'm like, no offense, it doesn't take for my birthday to come up for my man to do something for me. He does things for me every day, like, to be honest with you. So it's, a birthday is just like another day for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. Her asking that, I was like, girl.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what I've talked about before as far as I think there's a balance between having standards and, I don't know, maybe questioning if you're being a little too superficial. You've seen it and you see it everywhere. A man can pay for something. That's easy.
If he has it, that's easy.
It's not thoughtful.
Right.
And then eventually, yeah, that birthday trip's going to come and go. But are you happy with the way he treats you on the day-to-day? So.
That's what I'm saying. And I think sometimes girls just want to show off and be like, oh, yeah, like, my man got me this number. It's like, okay. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And no offense, I think some of those that get the lavish birthdays, they may not even be with that man the next week, or they may fall out after that trip. Like, I've heard the horror stories. So yeah. I'm like, wait, huh? All that stuff that she just, what? That necklace she posted was on the freeway? Huh?
Stop. What?
No, that's a real story, Blake. That's like, no, I'm good on that. I'm good on that.
Yeah. Everything that glitters isn't gold.
Yeah, like, just do it out of the kindness of your heart, right? But I, like we talked about before, I'm not trying to force anyone to do anything for me.
Yeah.
I don't want the consequences, please. How do you communicate your standards without over-explaining or over-justifying?
I don't know. To be honest, I've probably over-explained if I'm being truthful. So.
But it's hard. You don't want to, like, have to feel like you're repeating yourself, honestly.
Oh, yeah. No, I only said it once. But I don't know. To be honest, I feel like I feel like in this current situation, I said it basically like on the first date. I feel like half to try and communicate it, but I feel like the other half was almost to see if it would trigger him.
What did you say?
Actually, I think he might have asked about like the 50-50 conversation or something. Oh, shit. I don't know how that came up.
That's always so fun.
I honestly might have taken it to the extreme, but low-key, just to see if he would get triggered by it. And he didn't. So, like I've said before, we had a seven-hour first date. Yeah. We went to like five different places. So, yeah. I, to be honest, if you ask him, he'll say he wasn't paying me any mind.
Like, okay, but you were just with me for 7 hours. You're having a ball. Thank you so much.
Well, no, I said that within like the first hour.
Uh-huh.
But the date continued because he wasn't paying me any mind in saying like in that.
I see.
You know, and trying to press my standards or emphasize uh-huh. them, you know.
Yeah. That is so funny. What internal work did it take for you to stop settling for less and start expecting more?
I think in therapy, like working on my, I guess, self-esteem and self-worth, I would say that has prevented more negative experiences because it's like just self-love mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And I think staying in certain situations longer than you should have and doing that work in therapy will teach you like when you love yourself, you don't tolerate certain things or mm-hmm. boundaries is a part of self-love. So yeah.
For me, I would say, you know, people only respect you as much as you respect yourself. And so it's important to do the work, right? Because eventually once you learn to respect yourself, you start to see the way others handle you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when I see people and people are just disrespecting them or treating them a certain way, no offense, when I look at them, I'm like, but look how you're treating yourself. Look at the standard that you're holding yourself to. And that's something that I had to really tell myself, especially when it came to dating men. Because even though I'm dating a different man, I was still kind of ending up with the same resolution with me feeling as though, dang, that did not work out the way I thought it would. Mm-hmm. But it's also like me having to ask myself, where did you not respect yourself enough? And that's a very tough question to ask yourself. But I had to start asking myself that when it came to dating certain people.
Yeah, to be honest, I agree with that. And I think more people and hard conversations that I've had to have with myself is like, at a certain point, you're responsible for your own suffering.
You are.
You know, I've said this before, like, yes, it's not about, oh, I keep attracting this type of, no, you're choosing to entertain the same type of person over and over again. Like at a certain point, you have to take responsibility for that, you know, and you know how people will say like the person you're with is a reflection of how much you love yourself.
Yes.
So yeah, at a certain point, it's your responsibility to choose different because honestly that person is a reflection of you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're constantly dating men that are insecure or have low self-esteem, you probably do too. It might look different. Like in men, it usually looks as them trying to juggle multiple women and lying and cheating and deceiving. Mm-hmm. In women, in those types of women that date those types of men, it's lacking boundaries, people pleasing, not leaving after, like, yeah, the first sign of disrespect, stuff like that. So you're also insecure.
Yeah.
Is things that therapy will teach you, or actually reflecting and looking at yourself in the mirror, which is not easy to do.
No, I mean, it definitely is not, right? Because it is a journey to loving yourself truly. And I do think some people think that they do, but I'm like, honestly, you don't.
Yeah. And that's something hard to learn, because it's like, mm-hmm. you, and I talk about this too a lot of times in friendships, is like, we never see ourselves how other people see us. Like, I don't think the average woman is in a terrible relationship because she thinks she's unattractive, or because she thinks she doesn't deserve better, because she thinks she can't do better. It's just like, I feel like a lot of times we don't see, we think like, you know, we're great, but we don't see ourselves as great as we really are sometimes, yeah. You know?
That's very true.
And I think, yeah, that was a issue for me before, is like, I don't think I'm a bum. I don't think I'm ugly. Like, I know I'm smart, beautiful, whatever, multi-talented, multifaceted, whatever. But like, I didn't, it's almost like, deep down, do you actually believe it to the extent that you really are?
You're totally right about that. Because although people may think those things about themselves, you're right. Like, do you truly? Because your actions are showing differently. Mm-hmm. That type of woman you're describing, that's not the person that you're showing up as.
Correct. And also, what sucks is like, even if you start off slightly insecure, when you then date someone like that, it only gets worse, because they mm-hmm. just tear you down. Yeah.
No, for sure. Definitely. Hard truth. What's the difference between high maintenance and high value?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like one example, right, is you saying the communication in your relationship, right? To some people, like you said, that might seem high maintenance. But in return, your partner is also getting somebody that communicates, and is getting somebody that wants to communicate, because you want to be a good partner. You want to be in a healthy relationship. You want to build trust, you know, and that's the value that is returned from that expectation that to some people might be high. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whereas some people might have requirements in the relationship that don't add any value to the relationship. And maybe that would, something like that would be considered high maintenance. Maybe anything in the relationship that is not kind of like offset by partnership would just be high maintenance. Like if a man pays all the bills and the woman is doing all the cooking and cleaning, like, to me, that's whatever. They're balancing it out.
Right, right.
But if there is a requirement that is not maybe balanced out by something else, could that be considered then high maintenance?
Because honestly, in my opinion, I just feel as though, you know, in a relationship, there just has to be some type of common ground. Like we say, paying bills is not enough. So mm-hmm. I don't know. But also, I feel like in a relationship, there's give and take. It's like, if you can show up today,
and
show
that's
up.
Why I'm saying, if it's something that you are constantly taking, but there's no give back mm-hmm. in return, whatever that is, would that be considered high maintenance? I just don't know what an example of that is.
Yeah. I wonder what that would be called. I feel like that's like only word I can think of is selfish.
I think that is it. Selfishness in the sense that if all of your expectations only benefit you and they don't ultimately benefit the relationship, is that not just then high maintenance?
Because, I mean, when you put it like that, it does feel as though if you're being labeled as high maintenance, then it definitely seems as though, like what you're saying, you're kind of taking more than you're giving. Because it's true. Like, mm-hmm. why else would someone say that you're high maintenance mm-hmm. if they don't feel as satisfied as you are, mm-hmm. or they're being, you know, that other person is feeling as though they're being taken advantage of.
Right.
Because
I feel like,
say that, just yeah, to say that.
I feel like you would only feel like someone's high maintenance if there's some level of inequality, or yeah. like the effort that you're putting in to make that person happy or to meet their expectations is not being equally put back into you.
Right. No, definitely. I totally think that's,
and not right. necessarily, and that's what I was trying to say earlier, not necessarily in the same way.
Right.
So for me, I don't cook as much. He cooks more. On the outside looking in, it would look like I'm high maintenance, that I'm just sitting back taking every meal. but like I always clean up after. So I just feel like it's the give and take. Right. Whereas if he was always cooking and bought every single ounce of groceries and always cleaned up after, like then I would just be high maintenance. Because what exactly. am I contributing?
Yeah.
You know?
No, definitely.
And vice versa that. To the women that are like doing all of that and the man is doing nothing. Or mm-hmm. I think even outside of material things or actions, I think people that are, that can be high maintenance emotionally, but can't, and have high expectations emotionally, but can't then reciprocate that. So if somebody's expecting you to constantly cater to their feelings, but they can't cater to yours in return, I would say that that person's high maintenance. Or if you can love somebody in their love language and they can't show you love the way you want to be loved, that's an imbalance.
For sure. I'm just thinking about, you know, when you're dating and you're meeting someone, these are real life scenarios, but even if you ask someone that up front, I'm like, are they going to be honest or do you just kind of have to like see it through?
If you ask them, what are they high maintenance?
Yeah, things of that nature. Or just like what you're saying, right? Hey, I'm not really a cook. And he's like, okay, well, I am one.
But oh, I was upfront about that.
Period. But then, you know, in his mind, he's like, okay, but are you going to do the dishes after? Like sometimes I wonder.
Yeah, no one's following up with that initially.
Right. So sometimes I think it's just you have to see things through, right? And just see when the situation or the matter is at hand, how does that person, how do you both conduct yourselves? Versus just asking those questions like, so do you go 50-50, yes or no? You know, like I'm just thinking about that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're first dating, it is like a job interview, but
you don't know until
you're going through it.
You get into it.
Yeah. No, because sometimes me and him will joke about, he'll be like, sometimes I do secret tests on you and you don't even know, but you pass them all the time. I'm like, and I do the same thing. I think sometimes we just do that, right? Because you want to see how are you going to react or act in that situation. It's like, oh, thank God. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Like, we're on the same page with that. Like, mm-hmm. we're aligned, mm-hmm. you know? But like, that's why I keep saying a relationship is give and take. Mm. But I've been in relationships or dated men where it's like, okay, well, I paid the last time, or well, I did it for you the last time, or I drove the last time. It's like, why are we keeping tallies? And that was tough.
But I think people start keeping tallies when they feel like there's an imbalance, like when they feel like they're giving more than they're receiving is when people start to, well, some people, I mean, some people might just do it off rip.
I think he was just a cheap bastard. Because he definitely was not doing any more than I was. But well, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I know what you're saying for sure. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Child, yeah.
I'm screaming.
Clearly, I still have some trauma there.
Yeah.
So the mantra moment is, I'm not asking for too much. I'm asking the wrong person. The right one will see my standard as love and not demands.
Period. You're not asking for too much. You're just asking the wrong person, period. Ain't that the truth?
Yep. And don't you forget that.
What one won't do, the other will. Another one will.
Definitely.
Period.
I'd rather be single than settle.
Child, ain't that the truth? So much peace and solitude.
Literally. I was screaming that to the top of my lungs before I got in a relationship. I was like, I'd rather be single than settle. Because you have to feel that way. You have to be that way.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise you'll continue to have negative experiences.
Yeah.
And honestly,
I was going through it, child.
Yeah. And you see, the women that have high standards and leave, you know, immediately. And I'm not saying like cut off game strong, but like they communicate what they want. If it's not met, if it's not, you know, then they remove themselves. You always see those type of women don't necessarily, like, they don't necessarily have, like, negative attitudes towards men or dating because they don't allow themselves to stay in a situation too long and suffer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas I feel like, yeah, even I've maybe, I don't want to say sounded bitter, but sounded negative because I've had negative experiences, but again, we're to a certain point, we're responsible for our own stuff, suffering. And I'm not talking about, you know, financially or like physically abusive situations that have very complicated aspects to them as to why women don't leave, but, mm-hmm. you know, showing too much grace and putting the other person and not protecting yourself. That's what I'm talking about, you know?
Absolutely.
Not preventing those types of experiences. So, anywho.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Bye.